This is CliffCentral.com.
Pretty damn nice.
Thank you so much, man.
It's exactly what I wanted. Exactly how I pictured it as well. Really cool.
Wow. Huh? How do you like that? Pretty damn good. All right, a little Ed Sheeran with some Andrea Bocelli. I can't believe Sia didn't know that Andrea Bocelli was blind.
Jeez,
you had no idea?
I do not want
really?
To sound ignorant, but now...
I'm afraid that's already that's already happened.
Yeah. Now the penny has dropped, though, because I always watch his performance with Celine Dion as they sing their prayer.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow, he is so into his performance. He's just looking down the entire time. He's so passionate and in the moment. But now when I Google him, he's always looking down. And that's because he has his eyes closed. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's blind. Well, I did not know.
There we go, Sia. Yeah. You. Yes.
I'm stunned.
Yes. There was a story online before we get into the Henry von Bredaar thing, which I know nobody can bear to wait for. But there was a story about this, and it just illustrates like millennials. This guy woke up
after
late.
After my ignorant comment?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Thanks. Great segue.
This guy woke up late, by mistake said fuck during a TV interview, and went on to win gold at the Olympics, typifying millennials.
What?
We're late.
He woke up
late.
But
we
still
succeed.
So he's an athlete.
He's an athlete at the Winter Olympics.
Okay.
He woke up late. He was due for a television interview in which he swore by mistake. Mm. Didn't realize he'd done it. And then went on to win gold anyway. So I suppose, you know, millennials come with good and bad.
So nonchalant about it. Like,
yeah, it's
I'm
like I woke
late.
Up late.
Yes,
yeah.
I won the gold.
And you're late at the Olympics.
Yeah, and there have been some very funny pictures around these Winter Olympics. There's these two presenters, and they say that it looks exactly like the Hunger Games have come to reality.
Right.
One guy's hair is just outrageous.
Oh, that's Johnny Weir.
Is that Johnny Weir? Johnny, who's Johnny Weir?
Johnny Weir is a figure skater, an absolutely flamboyant. He will wear out...
His hair is poofed up so high that it's almost twice the height of his head.
Yes.
But it kind of is the Hunger Games for North Koreans, because as reports suggest, that they have minders, so they can't defect. So that when they go there to compete, they are under constant scrutiny and constant observation.
Oh,
and if
goodness.
They do, they've got a family member that's back in prison, basically, at home. So if they defect, that family member will be killed as well.
Oh, my God. It's horrible. What a horrible place North Korea is.
Yeah. So, yay, North Korea, the Korea Unity Games. Okay, we'll take three of your family hostage. So when you finish the event, you don't come back. Well, they'll die.
Wow, guys.
That's a bit intense.
Jesus, that's hectic.
I mean...
That's just the woman taking part in the figure skating at the moment.
Sheesh.
Someone says, by the way, that song is beautiful. Have you watched the music video? Because you could see how gorgeous Andrea Bocelli's son is. And then someone else says, that song is beautiful. No wonder Ed gets all the girls, even though he looks like a bridge troll.
He does, yeah.
Bridge troll.
Ooh. Like if you were driving through the Irish countryside and you looked under a bridge,
you'd find Ed Sheeran.
You would see Ed Sheeran. You'd be like, "Yeah, bridge troll."
Oh. A monster.
Exactly. All right, let's get it. Speaking of monsters, this story is still not over. We all have already given our verdict. I mean, I don't know why this whole thing is so
three
drawn out.
3 years, Gareth. It's now 3 years.
Yeah. So. Let's get into the Henry von Bredaar story, because there's been this week is the week of wrapping up and new developments. The prosecution closed off their case yesterday, and the defense goes up today. We should have a final decision by the judge within the next couple of days.
Well, the defense is going in there much like Alistair Garcia went into his last meeting at Sorry. The guy's got nothing.
He's got nothing.
What have they got? The state prosecutor Susan Galloway yesterday said, I mean, she basically was like, this is like getting a gimme. She went through a couple of key points, But it was just so easy. She said, look, he spoke... He should never have taken the stand because he came across terribly. He spoke in a very superior tone. When you look back at what he was saying, it's so true. He always gave this impression he was doing everyone a favor by being in court.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's now shaved his head like to the skin.
I saw that on the news last night.
Which again, he's never putting out the right image, is he? He just doesn't care, this guy. He's just, you can't get so much wrong.
But what are the people around him doing? They're failing in their jobs. Somebody should have warned him. No.
Don't.
Do not.
Because there's
shave
nothing.
Shave your head right now.
There is nothing scarier than a pasty, slightly fat white guy who has no hair.
Yeah, he now looks like the killer we know he is, allegedly.
Yeah, it takes him to like skinhead connotations.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was that, you know, Susan Galloway, again, like, you know, how easy do you want it? She said that, you know, after he thought that Molly was just going to die, so rather than helping her, he smoked 3 cigarettes.
Mm.
It seemed very clear it was premeditated murder. There was no reason this family was targeted in a supposed hit.
No.
So you can't draw
any of that in. Because they didn't even steal the...
There was no theft.
There was stuff lying
absolutely,
on the kitchen table.
Absolutely no theft. You couldn't just randomly go and target this family because of where they lived. They had no dodgy dealings with people who wanted them dead.
Plus,
it's
not, you
it's
try
like
and,
they were arms dealers or anything like that.
Try and get in and out of that estate without having some business in there. It's impossible.
Exactly. So there were just so many holes in this guy's story, which then Galloway was just kind of pointing out all the time. Why would the first person that he phoned not be emergency services? Mm. It was his girlfriend who lived in a student hostel.
Is this the same girlfriend that ended up being arrested on marijuana charges or something mild like that?
Nah, I don't know. Just that's not... Yeah,
that
so...
That was in his past, I know.
Jeez, this guy is so guilty.
So another clear thing was the self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
Or the wounds that would have been kind of inflicted upon him from his family fighting back against him. These wounds were not from an outside agency. So it was clearly all within the house, all while Star Trek was playing. I guess she didn't say that part, but
it just came to that.
And tell me, they're basically pushing for premeditated murder on 3 counts.
Times 3.
Yeah.
And then Marley? Is she manslaughter?
She,
because he tried to kill her too, obviously.
Yeah,
but she managed to survive.
As he sat there smoking his cigarettes, allegedly,
and calling his girlfriend,
while she survived.
While she was lying there, probably gurgling and spluttering, and you know, her brains all over the floor. I mean, the most obvious reason that this is a done deal and that there doesn't need to be any further discussion around it is that. She refused to testify, or she's unable to testify, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
in favor of her brother. Like, if you were... And this guy, by the way, it doesn't seem like he's shed a single tear about the family that he's killed. He's a solid psychopath.
Yep. It's a very good point there, Gareth, because even if she had a slight hint of, like, okay, there was an intruder, there was an attack, she would be...
She'd be up at him and like, oh, my brother's innocent. I definitely saw this other dude breaking in. Instead... She or whoever's looking after her have decided, hell no.
Stay away.
Exactly. So
they know something.
She's got the retrograde amnesia, but she's not a vegetable or anything like that. She knows what she's doing. She doesn't remember parts of the night. But one thing she does do, she doesn't remember being an intruder. So it's a very good point, Gareth. But there's also obstruction justice, what Galloway's also going for, because his story was all over the place and there were the crime scene manipulation. So, it's like, she had a list so long. She's like, okay, well, what do I go for? Because I haven't got 3 days to basically say how guilty this guy is. Now, the defense, on the other hand, their witnesses were seen as, that they weren't objective. There was holes in the forensics. And also, there was a lack of people looking to kind of really defend him. So, with what all rich people do is they get those independent forensics to come in. And they didn't have great things to say. Mm. They didn't have any overwhelming kind of stuff. I mean, Oscar had better stuff going for him.
But what happened to Henry's uncle? You know, when in doubt, rely on an uncle of sorts.
He doesn't even have a dodgy uncle. This is the most least Afrikaans thing in murder history. Because when in doubt, you'll always have that uncle that's going to go, oh no, he's a lekker ook though.
Yeah.
He's a good kid.
I mean, we learned this from Uncle Arnold.
I mean, his dodgy uncle lasted a week.
There was an uncle.
There was, but we haven't heard from him since.
And he was like, fuck this.
Yeah, he probably also realized.
So basically, I mean, if I was Galloway, I would say, look, judge this out. In closing, his dodgy uncle won't even stand up for him. And that's where you know this oak is just, he's guilty.
Yeah.
Rotten, huh?
And he's still just always has this deadpanned look on his face all the time.
No, he's a psychopath. There's no doubt. I mean, the guy has this, this. As Ben said, he almost made it seem like he was doing everyone a favor by even being there. He had this superior attitude.
Always, from start to finish. So now defense advocate Pieter Botha is expected to go there and make an ass of himself to there.
Good luck, dude.
To have nothing.
Good luck.
I mean, Pieter Botha is having a sleepless night. You know that feeling when you have a dream when it's your final exams but you haven't studied?
Yes.
That's what Peter's getting into right now. Judge, look, I don't know.
Jesus.
There's nothing you can do.
But judge, it was a black guy. I mean, like, what was Henry saying? It was a black guy who came into the house.
Well, he said it was one intruder, just one, who took down the entire family except for him and Marley, and then left with absolutely nothing. So he went there specifically to kill all the people that died, and then he left with nothing, this intruder.
And
that's
he was
what
armed,
Henry's saying.
Yeah. Armed with a knife. He did all of that.
Yeah, and the axe, and I mean, they found the axe, and whoever killed the other brother, whether it was Henry or this supposed intruder, hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, well, the supposed intruder who was wearing a balaclava, gloves, and dark clothing. Ugh, where did he go shop? Like Murderer's Warehouse. I mean, what a dreadful cliche
and
description.
An axe for
Murderer's
God's sake.
Murderer's Warehouse.
Guy's a nutcase.
Properly. And you know what?
You found him attractive at one point.
You did.
We're never going to let you forget that.
Do you still find him attractive now with his new hair? Don't.
No, that, that I have to say, sent a little shiver down my spine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. But kudos on this defense advocate, the Botha guy, who is doing quite a convincing act, because according to people who were in court yesterday, he was, in quotes, feverishly scribbling notes and muttered to his
colleague. He's busy writing his suicide note. He's like, this is my last case. After this, I'm out of here.
He's writing near and fuck a lot in his pad.
At a point, he even got up and he apologized for his behavior, saying that he'll rather save all of what he has to say for his rebuttal today.
Who can wait?
I reckon it's going to be the greatest work of fantasy, or it's going to deliver a performance like A Few Good Men to try and get out of this.
What
even
as
then,
you
he's
say,
got nothing.
Though?
As Ben said, he doesn't even have as much as Oscar had.
Mm.
Even Oscar had a better defense than this.
There is no way out of this.
You know, Oscar's definitely, according to the court, a murderer, right?
Yep.
Murdered Reva.
Yeah.
But this guy premeditated an axe murder of three, and he would have gone for four, of his own blood relatives.
See, but now manslaughter and it was definitely attempted murder. Are they they're the same thing? Because
attempted murder is different to manslaughter.
Okay, well, if he had three cigarettes, as clearly pointed out here, he had no interest in helping her after inflicting severe wounds.
Yeah.
Just think about this. You've got three family members dead in the house. Dead. You've killed them with an axe.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is, you think she's dead too. And what do? You amble down the stairs, sit at the kitchen counter, call up your girlfriend, and have three cigarettes. I mean, if that isn't sick in the head, I don't know what is.
What conversation do you even have at that point with your girlfriend?
Hey, hun.
But you probably asked her like, what she's doing.
What you doing?
Yeah.
Which proves even more how crazy he is.
How's your night going?
But you have to
Mine's
wonder.
Going great.
Because these murders were committed in different parts of the house. You have to wonder whether he wasn't aware that Marley was still alive.
No, he wasn't.
He just assumed, okay, I'm done with her.
Goes
either up to his room or downstairs, grabs a cigarette, steps outside on the balcony, smokes away. Marley's busy gurgling upstairs, choking on her blood or whatever.
He thinking to himself? Job well done.
Look, he probably thought she'll be the easiest. That's why I'll kill her last. That's why he went after the brother first, because he'll put up the bigger fight, because he was structurally bigger than him.
Yeah.
And then from there, he went to the parents, and then Marley was going to be a pushover.
Right.
So he left her for dead.
And he moved the brother's body, according to the forensic experts.
And weren't the parents in bed? So yes, he probably attacked them while they were asleep, which means they're defenseless to begin with. Because his father could have also posed like a physical...
If I come swinging an axe at you while you're snoring your head off, you don't know it's coming.
I don't stand a chance. It's so dark.
Swinging an axe. It is dark. You're right.
So therefore, the fact that the brother was the first shows it's premeditated because he was the biggest threat.
I know this is unrelated, but have you still not got a new cell phone?
Oh, no.
This piece of shit.
My Bale
dropped this phone on the day that I left. She dropped it on the floor in the production booth here, and it smashed into like 500 pieces. And then she calmly...
Just another day at the office.
Let's just like click, click, click. Puts it together and she goes, oh, it's fine.
You know, the only upside to having a piece of shit phone is that when it falls, I do not react like iPhone users because I know that I'm still okay. I'm going to put it back together with sellotape. It's going to work. It still works.
But like, the problem is like your screen isn't flush. There's probably like weevils in like the... And like the mainframe of that thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even cracked, Ben. And I don't know how to explain it. This is a tough device. But yeah.
It is. That's the kind of phone you keep.
I am due for
keep that as a dark phone. You keep it in your cubbyhole of your car in case you need some.
I am due for an upgrade. So the new one will come soon. I just haven't decided what that's going to be yet.
Someone has written an anthem for the feminist movement of Donald Trump. Can you believe this?
Who is that?
Okay. I don't know. Someone who has that just much sick in the head is just as sick in the head as Henry van Bredaar, isn't it?
Oh,
here it is.
I'm sorry, it's me. I just have one more thing. Two senior members of your staff have recently resigned amid allegations of domestic violence, including Rob Porter, who's been accused by two ex-wives and one ex-girlfriend, all who say he abused them. Do you have a comment on his departure?
I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it, but we certainly wish him well. It's a obviously tough time
for his victims.
For him, he did a very good job when he was in the White House.
Quick question. Many people are concerned that you are so quick to defend your friends and allies, alleged perpetrators of physical assault and sexual misconduct, because you yourself have been accused by multiple women and that you're just priming your base for when the time inevitably comes that you are finally brought to justice. Is that true? He wanted to know.
As you probably know, he says he's innocent. And I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent. So you'll have to talk to him about that. But we absolutely wish him well.
Sometimes it's hard to be a leader.
Remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
You can't be bad.
Tonight, the President of the United States stands accused of sexual misconduct.
Your friends are awful.
Sexual harassment at Fox News.
Vile and unlawful.
Moore might have been banned from a local mall.
But they're your friends, and, like, so what?
The President has a track record of defending men accused of abuse or harassment.
I'm a loyal person.
You're caught between a rock and, well, your hard place.
Some of the women that are complaining, I know how much he's helped them.
They've done stuff they're not supposed to do.
One of President Trump's top aides has resigned after
allegations of domestic abuse.
Ooh, but don't you scold them for being sleazy old men. Because after all, dear,
so are you.
We wish him well.
He's a good person.
It's a total setup.
Get the basic idea, right? Donald Trump. That's a guy called Randy Rainbow.
What?
Who's on Twitter.
Randy?
Randy Rainbow. Yeah. You got to pay attention.
I need to Google who this is now.
Yes.
If you were offered an opportunity to go to a safe place to vent about your place of employment, would you take up that opportunity?
Well, I've always thought that if you're really unhappy at work and you need to vent about it and life is so horrible in your workplace, you should just resign. Like, have the balls to just leave. Just say, you know what? I had it with this place. I'm done. It's time for me to seek out something. If you think you deserve better, go out there. Let the market test you. And if you're good, if you really are worth more than your employer at the moment thinks you are, then you'll find a job easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you were wrong.
But
let the market test you.
What is the safe place?
Well, there is an app. It's called Blind. And it is connecting tens and thousands of employees at Amazon, Uber, Apple, Google, and about 1,000 other US tech companies. Yeah. They say that it's an anonymous message board for users to discuss, debate, and gossip about things like compensation, corporate policies, workplace harassment, and much more. Essentially, anything that you would like to get off your chest about your place of employment can be done anonymously on this app.
Whatever happened to manning up and actually going to your boss and saying, this is my problem? First of all, your boss will respect you a whole lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, then they shouldn't be your boss and you should be able to resign anyway. I don't understand how it helps to do anonymous. First of all, people are going to lie because it's anonymous. So people are going to go on there and claim all kinds of bullshit. You know what happens, right? That's the internet. That's what Twitter is. Twitter is just this place where people with a little bit of anonymity get away with saying the most outrageous things. And a lot of it is just not true. If you want your workplace environment to improve, you've got to do something about it. And going and posting an anonymous message isn't going to mean a damn thing. If you're in a position at work where you can't stand up for yourself, you can't. Let's say your boss is a real douchebag and you don't feel safe being able to. You've got to resign and get the hell out of there. It's not healthy. But who else is going to take responsibility for your life but you? You know, everybody wants to change the world, but you've got to start with you. And if you're in an unhappy position at work, going and posting anonymous messages on this app doesn't seem to me to be the way to go, right?
I wouldn't trust this app for shit. First of all, it's providing a service to tech companies. You really want to tell me that they like
they're going to tell them who it is? Yeah, there's like, no anonymity there.
It's a setup.
Exactly.
I mean, come on. Like the way that we are tracked these days, and the way that people are able to link things back to, you know, even just a username.
Mm.
I don't press.
They aren't asking for Gerard to work down the road at some bakery. No.
So the parent company of this app is called Team Blind, and they actually launched the app in South Korea back in 2014 already. And it was modeled after an internal message board, which was once used by employees at Naver, which is the South Korean equivalent of Google. And then a year later, Blind extended it to the United States, where it has been steadily gaining users. So it would seem that a lot of people are, in fact, interested in venting on this app. Now, at a time when workplace scandals are increasingly exposed, you'll remember Uber's sexual harassment issues, there are all kinds of things that happen in the workplace that people, for whatever reason, feel they do not want to talk about openly or to another person's face, so then they do it anonymously on this app, Blind.
Now, how are you ever going to improve your life if you're not going to do something face-to-face? How are you ever going to get ahead? If you're so racked with fear that you can't even approach another human being. And you know what? What's the worst that can happen? You could get fired from your job. Well, if you're in such an unhappy position, how would that be any worse than what you're already in? Am I right?
True.
I mean,
but these people have...
If I were working for... And I've worked for some real douchebags before. I mean, you remember at the SABC, Mubs. I mean, we had terrible management. A lot of the time, these were horrible people. And I would just face up to them. You faced up to Cloudy once.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you were called in and you stood up for yourself.
Well, I mean, it was a logical response to what I was being asked. I was being asked to resign and I said, make me an offer.
Right, but you didn't fade like a flower and go and post something on an anonymous message board.
I was called into Cloudy's office. I felt so intimidated.
feel like you walked in there with like a whip.
Oh, she no, took control.
Not even, hey? Not even.
But these people have no inclination. They aren't thinking along the lines of wanting to be proactive in their own lives. They just want to vent.
Okay, but then guess what?
What happened to going to a bar with your friends and drinking a beer on a Friday?
But guess what? If you have no... What you just said now, if that's your attitude, don't expect your life to improve.
Well, that's it. They want... I post on a forum and other people feel bad for me.
That's ridiculous. That's what children do.
He bullied me in school today. I don't like that girl. She's mean.
Mm-hmm. So not how adults behave. Posting things on an anonymous message board. And by the way, from the employer point of view, if you're such a bad employer that your employees feel that they need to go to an anonymous message board to be heard, you shouldn't be an employer.
But depending on whose perspective you're looking at, everyone can be a bad employer. All it takes is for one or more employees to see you as a bad employer, and then you are a bad employer. And then on the opposite side of the coin, you'll have other employees who say, oh no, but that guy is great. I love my boss.
That's why I say let the market test you. If you think you're better than the job you have, go and try yourself. Resign and go and find another job that you think you deserve more.
Mm.
Right? Wouldn't that make sense?
I still believe, as Mabale said, this is a trap. Don't do it.
Nothing is anonymous in the era of technology. Absolutely nothing is anonymous anymore.
They will find you. Yeah, that's true. A lot of people are talking about the president at the moment because it seems like he's on borrowed time, even though he desperately wants another 3 months to steal some more. Just to finish the stealing. Mm. At least you've got to admire the fact that he wants to keep it tidy. In 3 months, he can really tidy things up and hide the evidence and steal just exactly the amount that's needed. And he wants to go to the last BRICS meeting and one more AU meeting, he said.
Mm. Tie up loose ends.
Yeah, exactly. You got to admire that the guy's keeping his house in order, you know?
Yeah. Look, right. If you're looking to escape jail time, you have to tie up loose ends. You know, you can't just...
Run away, got to make sure
that you've got all your bases covered.
Right. Anyway, the SABC posted this and they said this is the moment in Parliament that will stand out forever between Jacob Zuma and Juju. And I think it might remind you of a time where he thought he was all powerful.
One thing about President Zuma in this country, should I stand every day, tag everybody to court? You say a lot of things about me. Should I do so? If I were
you to can
do
take
so,
me to court.
He's answering
this is
you,
not your
Honorable
house.
Malema.
This is
Honorable Malema. Honorable Malema. Honorable Malema.
This is our house.
No, Honorable Malema, you
can take
your
action
question.
Against me. You can take action against
me. Yes, sis. Yo, and they switched off Julius's mic, hey?
That laugh that is laugh, what all a kinds creep. Of creepy as
God,
well.
God, he's an evil man. He's such an evil man. Wow.
Oh, Juju.
Huh?
You tried.
I would be so exhausted being Balegambete every time you have to chair one of those sessions.
Well, what's she got to do now? Nothing.
No, but I'm just saying, like,
out of a job?
It's like you're a referee in a wrestling match. Like, yeah. It's just exhausting.
Wrestling at least has some sort of technique to it, has a strategy, has a time frame. You never know what could happen in Parliament. It's like, I don't know, watching, what do they call it? Like, cockfighting, when you just let those chickens loose. Like,
yeah. Ow! They just attack each other. Right.
Go at it. That's what really happens.
I laughed yesterday because, again, getting into everything after my little break, a friend of mine messaged me and said, do not leave your house if you don't have to today. Traffic was apparently a disaster yesterday afternoon.
There was
a big accident somewhere in Centurion or Midrand or whatever, and cars came to an absolute standstill on the highway. So he made a video. I mean, this just shows you how bad it must have been. He got out of his car and like made a video walking next to all the other cars. They were gridlocked. There was no movement at all. And he made a video of himself walking down the road in between all the cars on the highway and checking out what crap he could find on that kind of middle island between the highway going north and the highway going south.
Yeah.
And he found CDs and he found like little bits of electronic equipment. And he said it was amazing. It was like finding, and of course none of it was useful. Obviously it had been thrown out. But that people just throw crap out of their cars there was quite interesting. And he didn't get moving for an hour, he says.
An hour?
Yeah, he sat there for an hour. Can you imagine?
Well, at least he found a way to amuse himself.
That's true.
Well, yeah, at first I thought what he was doing was odd, but now...
It is very odd.
Standing there for an hour, what else can you do?
Yeah, so there we go. Some traffic hell for people yesterday. And apparently there's traffic hell in Mamelodi as well this morning. Solomon Mahlangu coming out of Mamelodi for more than an hour now. And people are saying, Solim Simanga, please sort this out. He's, of course, the mayor of Tshwane, of Pretoria. So he's responsible for that. All right, do you want to hear, this is pretty funny. There's this old man, right? And he doesn't know how old he is.
Is that because his birth was not documented properly?
He knows what year he was born, but he's never really thought about his age. So his son tells him, do you have any idea how old you are? He's 98 years old, so he'll be 100 by sort of the end of next year, because his 99th birthday is now, this year. Listen to this quickly.
How old do you think you are?
79.
Higher.
89.
Higher.
89. Higher than that?
Yeah.
90.
Higher.
91.
Higher.
2.
Higher.
3.
Higher.
4.
Higher.
5.
Higher.
6.
Higher.
7.
Higher.
8.
That's it. 98.
Your ass. I am not 98 years old. Holy fuck. That gets old. How do I get so old so fast?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh my God.
You're going to be 99 this summer.
No, am I really?
Yeah.
I was born 1919.
And it's
what is it now?
2018.
2018. Next year I'll be 100.
Yeah, you're going to be 99 this summer. You're going to be 99 this summer, and then next year will be 100.
Yeah. Holy fuck. Jeez, I'm going to be an old fucking man. You know it?
Don't you love that guy? Has no idea. And then he goes, wow, I'm going to be an old man. He's 98 and he doesn't think he's old already. What a great guy.
But I think also at the same time, once you've hit, what, 85? 85 is just like 90, just like 95.
Do you think so? I mean, do you think there's a cutoff? Because I know some 80-year-olds who are very, very vibrant, lively, busy people. They get a lot done.
He actually sounds like he still has his faculties about him.
Sure. He can't believe he's 99. Or 98.
Like what? Like Jane Fonda's 80, actually.
Well, we've spoken about her. She's incredible.
Well, she's pulled up and sucked up the right way. So you look at what 80 is, and she's still acting, and she's going around. And
yeah, how old is Betty White?
All right.
Thousands of years. Thousands of years. What do you think of this?
She's 96.
Do you think the ANC should pay us all back for the last 9 years of Jacob Zuma?
Can they afford to pay us all back?
I think they should. I don't care. Then they must go into debt. But don't they? Shouldn't they pay us all back? They should pay the country back for having put this asshole in position. Don't you think they owe the country money? Like if you get a CEO of a company and they drive the company into debt and they ruin the business, you can sue as a shareholder of that company, mm-hmm. and we're all shareholders in South Africa Inc., right? You could sue that director for malfeasance and, you know, not taking his fiduciary duties seriously, and you can hold him individually responsible for running the country into the ground, or a company into the ground in that case, and the country in the case that I'm talking about. Should we sue Jacob Zuma in his personal capacity, and the ANC as the board of directors of South Africa, for having ruined a good asset? I mean, when they took it over from Thabo Mbeki, it was worth X.
Mm-hmm.
You can only say now that it's worth less than X, right? We should sue. Surely we can do a class action lawsuit. 58 million people versus one. Imagine.
But we put him into power. We willingly voted.
We didn't. The ANC put him into power. ANC chose him as their leader. We voted for maybe the majority of South Africans. The majority of South Africans didn't even go to the polls. Mm-hmm. But the majority of people who did vote voted for the ANC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that, okay, fine, those people,
they aren't allowed.
They
to.
Don't get paid.
Okay. Ah, you see, now you're already creating issues.
No, but those are the people who are responsible for giving the ANC the power to be able to elect this idiot into position. So what we should do is everybody who either didn't vote or who didn't vote for the ANC should all get together. That's a good 40 million people, 38 million people at least.
But then the counter argument to that is all the people who didn't vote, who could with their vote have prevented
yes.
the ANC from getting into power, also don't deserve the money.
I'd also take them
see
out.
Now.
Yeah. See, all right, I'd so then what?
Out.
It's only people who voted DA, EFF, IFP, and
ACDP.
UDM. And ACDP.
What if
those people are allowed to sue. They can have money.
Yes.
Huh?
But are we actually gonna have this money end up in our actual bank accounts? I mean,
wouldn't it be nice
when you say that the country should sue the ANC?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that money one just go back in? Like, where does the money go? It doesn't come into your and my bank's account. Does it go into?
No, it should.
State.
I'd appreciate it physically.
Hell yeah. Who wouldn't appreciate a little cash injection right
I
now?
I also know some people who would just simply want the price of avocados to go down, you know? So if we somehow right. weighed things up and we said, okay, our DSTV subscription will go down.
Something.
And we'll be happy with that. Something. Yeah. And then little I'm sore.
It's just an idea. I think it's a good idea. All right. Previously, they brought us Kanye West, Drake, and J. Cole. Now Castle Light are bringing you the award-winning artist Chance the Rapper. Yep, you heard it here on cliffcentral.com. They're adding him to their exhilarating extra cold experiences. The concert takes place on the 30th of April, so you've got lots of time to plan it. And make sure you get your tickets at the Ticket Pro Dome. You can get your tickets right now from CompuTicket. You don't want to miss this. Castle Light Unlocks Exclusive. That's right. That's the hashtag. You want to find out more, then just follow hashtag Castle Light Unlocks on Twitter or Instagram. And you'll be able to get all the info there. Isn't that cool?
Oh, I'm so ready for it.
Yeah.
Mm. Are you going to go?
I'm so ready for it. Well, I'm glad you're now back, Gareth, so we can discuss this.
Okay, good.
Thanks. I'm just expecting hospitality.
You want to be in a booth, do you see?
Well, not necessarily a booth. I'm not that picky, but just so that I'm standing above everyone.
Well, Sia.
It's at the dome, right?
No,
yeah.
Sia.
It's a great place.
We live to worship you.
Yeah, Sia has a superiority complex.
Well, it's
like
not
nobody.
Even that. You know, I just think in this group, who feels like going out to a concert? You know? I do. So it's fine. I can take all of your tickets. We calculate, we add them together, and I get hospitality. It's fine.
Someone wants a picture of Mabali's phone so that we can see it on Twitter. Someone wants to see what an old fossil looks like. It's a horrible old phone.
It's so horrible.
If I take a picture of the back of it, it looks like it's made of stone.
I actually kind of like the back cover.
Why? Vibe. What's to like?
It's the metallic something or the other.
How old is that phone? How long have you had it?
Just under 2 years. I'm due for my upgrade, so I should actually get going on that.
What are you going to go for? Android?
Yes.
You like Android, huh?
I'm comfortable with Android.
All right. Okay. Not saying anything. I'm a slave to Apple. I've said it before. I can't get away, even if I wanted to now. I'm owned.
Oh, no.
I'm pwned.
Tim Cook has you in his pot.
Yeah.
Just having you for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Right. Hey, listen, you can gear up for all things cars, bikes, 4x4s, and more on our expert motoring infotainment show. If you haven't heard it already, it is powered by Auto Trader, and it's called Auto Central. It's Auto Central every Monday with Tyron Woods, George Meany, and Chad Lookoff. That's at 9 in the morning or whenever you want to listen to it, because you can go download the podcast. I was talking to some people on this holiday about podcasts, and everybody loves podcasts at the moment. That's all people are listening to.
Speaking of podcast listeners, did you get to eventually bump into Hi Rob?
I did see Hi Rob. Can I tell you what? I wanted to see more of him, but we basically got, I don't know, 20 minutes in a bar in the middle of Val d'Isère, uh-huh. and we had one beer together and a shot of Jaeger or whatever it was. But I saw Hi Rob for 20 minutes. I really wanted to see more of him, but you know, the problem is, first of all, when you're skiing, it's hard to meet up with people that aren't always on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And if you arrange to meet up with them at any of the popular places, it's hard to find them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're not on Wi-Fi, then you got to use data, which can get expensive. So I didn't know whether he was on all the time or whether he wasn't. But it was good to see him, even if it was for only 20 minutes.
He was also there on holiday.
He was snowboarding. Yeah,
he was lit from start to finish.
And he was having fun. It was really good to see him, though. So I saw Hi Rob. And it was magic.
Did you see Kerry? Was Kerry McGregor still there?
Tracy. No, she'd left already. I didn't get to see her. In fact, there were a couple other South Africans there. Nobody that I'd met before. Nice mm-hmm. people, though. Got to just sort of say hi. But there were, like, my French has improved so much. In
Father
1 week.
Bleu Français?
What?
That's all I know.
What did you say? Father Bleu Français? Who the hell's Francais and why is your father doing that?
Il fait chou. Il fait quoi?
What?
Plus petit français.
What?
I'm just throwing out all the generic Jesus. Terms that I know.
No, my French got much better. Because we had this French ski instructor.
Laurien.
Yeah. Yeah, she was...
Everything sounds classy.
She was really French. Just... She was so good at kind of giving us the basics. And there were four of us training with her. So it was nice to do that. And at the same time, when you're going up and down in the ski lifts, you have to talk to each other. So I improved my French on the way, which was nice too.
I think it's also cool that you got to be away from your phone.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would have seen, I would have posted a bunch of pictures on some of the nights and that's it. I didn't engage on Twitter, hardly went on Facebook at all. Shem, I did find out, and it's worth throwing this in here because anybody who has ever been a fan of idols in South Africa will probably want to know this. But the original producer of Idols in South Africa, a guy called Carl Olin, very sadly passed away over the weekend. He was the first producer. You know, I was new to TV and I met this guy. He was this big Viking. He had wild hair and a big beard and he used to drink his body weight in whiskey. He was just a larger than life animal. He was mad and... Oof. You know, Randall and I used to tease him and say, you know, Carl, are you really the executive producer? And he'd just say, ah, oh, fuck off, man. and he was just the most fun guy. We went out one night in PE and Carl drank more than everyone in this really dingy club that we were at and then still drove us home.
Oh.
And he was so much fun. He used to drive down. He used to have a scooter, Mubs. A little pink scooter.
Pink.
Yeah.
Love it.
Wait, incredible. This big Viking of a man.
This huge big Viking of a man.
A little pink scooter.
It was old and broken and just a mess. And he would drive it to this Israeli guy who used to fix it. And as he came down the driveway of this Israeli guy's place,
oh, no.
This Israeli would stand in the driveway and see him coming and go, no, not you, fuck off, not you, get out of here, you are horrible, take that piece of shit with you. And he used to have a bottle of whiskey in the little cubby hole in the front of the scooter.
Uh-huh.
And once he forgot his whiskey there, when he dropped it off to have it fixed, and he phoned the guy, and he said to him, listen, if you touch my whiskey, I'll kill you.
Talk about a man
he was hysterical.
Who had his priorities.
What a great
check.
Guy. What a great human being. And he used to go surfing in Jeffreys Bay. That was his thing. That was what he enjoyed doing. What an awesome human being. I'm really sad he's gone. Mm. You know, sometimes you meet people who just, they do not fit the mold. They don't fit in with society. They don't do a job. They don't have... an ordinary life. They live them. They are so authentically them. He was like that. He was just this fun. He used to do the Long Street Mile, which was going to every pub on Long Street.
Oh,
and until you pass out. He was just wacky and creative and brilliant. And I remember being brand new to television and this guy showing me the ropes and making it fun for me. And I probably enjoyed Idols 10 times more in those first 5 seasons because Carl Olin was there. So I'm very sad he's gone, and I know he's got a daughter called Emma, who I've met a couple of times, and, you know, Emma, condolences to you. Just rest in peace, Carl, and the devil better watch out if you, because when you come, it's going to turn shit upside down.
The devil is not going to be ready for Carl on his pink scooter.
Hell no. He's going to roll in there and turn the place to chaos. But because he's a Viking, I you know, all I can say is I hope that Valhalla's ready for you, because like those ancestors of yours who used to pillage villages and kill the priests and rape the nuns and drink the petrol, that's what he's going to be doing. What a guy. Anyway, that was the sad news I got on Sunday night late, so just thought I'd throw that in there because he was a great guy and a lot of people might have known him. He launched a lot of careers, had a very successful television business. Just a great guy. So anyway. Someone says, you know, they're listening to us. Jenna, she says, I'm listening to you guys this morning, and that Fit and Bradar case would make an awesome Lifetime movie.
It absolutely would.
Let's be honest. Somewhere in the world, there's already a team putting it together.
Yeah, but it would have to be based on a true story rather than be the actual true story, because they would have to have some sort of balancing doubt here, because the story, there's no doubt whatsoever, it would be too predictable as a TV show. So there would have to be some element of something coming in to make him look less guilty.
I'd be interested, because we do know what the outcome is, you know, like if they tell it chronologically, it's not like we're waiting with bated breath to see that, will the family die or not?
Yeah, but that's like, you watch the Whitney Houston one, you know what's
going to
happen.
You know what's going to happen, but I'm more interested in the backstory.
Yeah,
so
smart,
if the team
yeah.
go out and they find out who Henry hung out with, where he hung out.
What made him, what did the hate?
Mm-hmm. Maybe he killed a pigeon when he was 8 years old.
Definitely
that
did,
would have
yeah.
been the sign. That's what I want to know.
Definitely, yeah, see? For sure. And then, like, who were these people he was hanging out with? We took drugs.
Mm. Yeah, because he had a druggy past. I think that's what you were confusing earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he interfered with?
Didn't he go to rehab as well?
But please, let's not blame the drugs in this scenario.
Was he interfered with? Yeah. Is that what your suspicion is?
Well, this is what the show could reveal.
Huh.
No, we aren't necessarily blaming drugs, but I...
Yeah, no, drugs don't deserve such a bad rep for Henry von Bradar.
Yeah, drugs can't be blamed for Henry von Bradar.
Are you speaking
I'm
in your
speaking
capacity
up for
as
the
a
drugs.
Spokesperson?
I am speaking up for the drugs. They are not to blame for Henry and his ways.
Hey, Songe Zazibi, who's the former editor of Business Day, says on Twitter, and I think this is an interesting point, imagine Jacob Zuma uses the resignation speech to spill the beans like he always threatened he would on all the Smolanyana skeletons.
Mm. Well, that would be one way to go out.
See, he is burning bridges if he were to do that.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, he's got, what has he got to lose?
Any sort
Wouldn't
of alliance that,
be that
he might need in the future? Because we still don't know. Otherwise, really, the jets are, the engines on his jet already turning as he announces that speech, so that he flies straight to Dubai and he's safe.
It would be interesting, but can you imagine what a shock to the system it would be as well? Because we only know of the Smolanyana skeletons, but what about the not so Smolanyana skeletons?
Well, I still want to know what's going to happen if he doesn't deliver on that nuclear deal.
Mm.
What's Putin going to do?
Ooh, what would Putin do?
And then have you seen the new picture, the official portrait of Barack Obama that's going to go up in the White House?
Yeah.
Love that.
Have you seen it?
Saw that yesterday.
You guys talked about it?
Well, no. It was unveiled yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a painting of him. It's got a whole lot of leaves and flowers in the background. It's unlike most official portraits, which have sort of a plain background and then the president in a suit with a tie.
Mm.
And so people are saying they love it. Some
and
people
the first
are saying
lady
hate
as
it.
Well. She had hers unveiled.
Yeah, but does it look like her?
Yeah. Thank you for calling that out, because I watched the reveal and I felt like
really?
She
doesn't look like her?
If you squint, it does. And you can recognize it from afar, like, okay, that's Mrs. Obama. But it's not a spitting image of her. I felt like her expression was just like, oh, well, I have to pretend to like
it. Yes, because what else are you going to do, Shane?
Let's see this.
As I understand it, it was two different artists, right?
Yes.
So one for Michelle, one for Obama. Right. Let's just say the Obama artist did a better job.
But also the same...
This is not great. This is really not good.
Does it look like
her,
though?
And her one is very... It's
more traditional.
It's very pop art, though. She's wearing this funny dress, and it's not great.
But I prefer hers to his. I don't understand the relevance or the symbolism of the flowers. Like
you really want to ask an artist to like explain his creative process? Whoa, you are asking for trouble.
But these are official portraits.
The Michelle Obama artist is a woman, and she's very proud of it. She says it's great. But I mean, there are better photographs of Michelle Obama than that portrait.
These are official portraits. And if you are a historian or anyone who holds the office of the presidency in high regard, you'll be walking past and you see, you know, Washington, you see Lincoln, and then you see, oh, this Obama chap, you know. What will people say in 100 years' time when they look back at this Obama chap surrounded by flowers? I don't know, personally.
Yeah. Who knows? It's like those, you know, every couple of years the Queen has a portrait done, and sometimes they're revolting. No, sometimes they're really bad. They get like some modern artist and makes it look like her face is melting, or, you know.
Like she's had a stroke on one side of her face.
And then she has to smile and say, oh, what an interesting picture. Meanwhile, she hates it, and she's going to burn it as soon as they give it to her.
Yeah.
You've had your fair share of people.
I've had some portraits done.
No, but that's Picasso.
Yes.
Lest we forget.
Picasso is the guy who paints with his penis.
Yes, and he did one of you.
Yeah. He did. How terrifying is that?
I would love to know what a medical exam would reveal about Picasso. Like, paint... Penis, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. that can't be healthy, right?
No. It's a special kind of paint. He wouldn't just go in there with some industrial acrylic or whatever.
I would. Does he never? I really don't want to talk about this.
Does he ejaculate rainbow? Say it.
No, I wasn't even thinking that, but I was thinking I would rather prefer you wear some sort of protection when you do it, well, like a condom.
But then he won't be able to get the texture.
Oh, bye. Okay, cool. We're done.
Yeah, he's an artist.
We're done with this now. Thank you.
He is an artist.
No. Can we go to our interview?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk to, I don't know if you heard this, probably not, but Desmond Dube was in here the other day. I love this guy. He's got one of the nicest natures and characters in South African entertainment. He's been on TV. I mean, I remember Desmond Dube when I was a kid. Is that possible? He's not that old.
Yeah, he has been around forever, actually.
He's really good. Like, everything he does really professionally and really well. And he's got an interesting backstory, and he's just a terrific dude. And he popped in the other day, and we had a nice chat. And I think you're going to enjoy it. Desmond Dube coming up next. He's our guest for this morning. CliffCentral.com. We got a... array of fantastic stuff on the lineup for you today and plenty of fresh material. If you need anything on podcast, you just go onto the cliffcentral.com website and you type in the name of the person you want to hear from, the thing you want to talk about, the thing that you're interested in, and you can find so much to listen to. You will not get bored. Africa's biggest podcaster, cliffcentral.com, doing our thing for you. If you have any suggestions, you have any ideas, you want to get in contact with us, you know what to do. Contact@cliffcentral.com is where you can do that. And let us know if there's something that you think we could be doing a whole lot better as well. We like a little bit of constructive criticism from time to time. So all of that is open to you, and we hope that you will use it. And tell us also if there's something that you really loved so that we can do more of the same. You know what I'm talking about. We need to know. People have got to know.
Can I finish off with one thing that you need to Google today?
Of course you can.
In your own time, Google a vajankle. V-A-J-A-N-K-L-E.
Tell me what that is.
Well, you can just go and Google it, Gareth, in your own time.
Can we guess first?
No!
There we go. There's some fun today.
I don't want to.
A vajankle.
I'm not scared.
All right. Well, we'll get to that tomorrow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Doesn't matter how many times I try. Can't be
got your love, so I'm not giving up.
Oh, for God's sake. I always, you know, this happens to me when I've been on a holiday.
No, it doesn't. It happens all the time.
Okay, it happens all the time. Let's get the unnews.
Yes.
All right, for God's sake. Here we go. Here's the unnews for this morning. Everything you need to know. First things first, some furious Cape Townians are claiming that there is no day zero. Instead, just a bunch of lies to privatize water. Claims are being made outside of Helen Ziller's residence, where people had gathered to collect spring water from her tap. There was no water, though, as Helen's kids were having a party with a slip and slide. The people refused to vacate after being asked to do so, but they were eventually dispersed with a water cannon. Ah. ANC NEC have put their foot down on the Jacob Zuma issue and told him that they're going to recall him. He said that's fine, but he needs 3 months' notice, which according to Ujacob means that he wants to stay until November at the very least. No, can't add. And finally, the Proteas take on India today in Port Elizabeth. It's another must-win match. But it's back in the green clothing, so they'll probably lose. Trying to maintain some of the pink magic from the weekend, Aidan Markram and the team will be wearing pink underwear today. But if this is enough of a factor is doubtful. All right, Desmond Dube coming up next. Cecilia,
you're breaking my heart. This is CliffCentral.com.